Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Edgar Pera. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with the radio, because I did radio in the beginning and I really enjoyed just the sound and environment.
Right. Yes. Well, it's interesting you say that, because I like radio too. I like voices. I like hearing voices. Of course, this is a very different radio, I guess. It's just me with a microphone.
Well, I will do short stories and then we'd read and make soundtracks. And
interesting, yeah. Interesting. So you're here as part of, there's a retrospective of your works at the festival. How many films are being screened, more or less?
24 films. Ah. They had to select from more than 100. Sometimes,
wow.
I'm ashamed to say that.
No. I mean, you know, it's what's interesting to me is that you just seem to always be making films. You never stop.
Well, I'm most of the time shooting, yes. But making films, it's a different thing. You have lots of thinking about it. You have to research and you have to lose lots of time in editing and sound design. So making films, it always takes a long time.
When was the first time you picked up a camera? The very first time, the earliest memory. And it can be like a photo camera.
Well, I had a small photo camera when I was like 10, and I won a prize. I won a prize in the contest, and it made me very happy at the time. I didn't know yet. I wanted to do cinema and all that, but
what was the contest?
It's a photography contest for young people, and I just took a picture of my dad and my grandfather fishing.
Do you think that any influence is reflected in your films of that first experience?
Yes, that and lots of music. From the 70s, when I was a teenager, like I would hear Jimi Hendrix, and when he would rewind the sound and make all this distortion and all this, that, or Kraftwerk, or I would say there were lots of influences in my filmmaking from that time. Mm. Yes,
the manipulation of the image, you mean?
In this case, manipulation of sound, and then only afterwards I had a visual approach, because for me, first is always the sound.
First is it still like that today?
Yeah, it's still like that. Well, it's first in a way that it's the unseen, so you have to think a lot about what's not seen, much more than what's being, because that's more obvious. Mm. So you have to immerse someone, and that you have to go through all the space of the theater, and that takes time to do it.
But you do consider it as well, like, for instance, the space of the theater.
Well, when we do cine concerts, yeah, we have to think about that.
Yeah. So, for instance, the cine concerts is a meeting of between arts, and it's really a multimedia experience. So you're not so much interested in just making films and not just making music, but actually an encounter between the arts.
Well, this cinema concert, the live cinema, it's called Lovecraft Land. And Lovecraft is a writer, and he says that he could do something just for seven people that really understood him, or just for himself, because what he wants is self-expression. And I believe in the same. What I have is self-expression. It can be through any medium,
yeah.
Artistic medium. It's you just have to find the right format to do something, like this concert where you have a singer, a musician, a VJ, actor, and me shooting live with images mixed at that very moment. So,
and is it ever recorded?
Well, we shoot. We don't do it like it's going to be a film. Mm. We just archive. Yeah. But because it's the feeling of the moment. The most important thing of a cine concert is that the spectator feels that no one else will share that moment, and they have this. They have at the same time the shooting, the editing, the soundtracking, all being done in front of them. And that's magic.
It's almost like, I don't know whether you would agree, but it's almost like when people say it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Would that be true?
Yeah, it's always true that, I think, in everything. Because if people would see just the end product of cine concerts, they will never have the feeling of seeing how am I manipulating the camera and the actors, and then what... There's some abstract image appearing, but people have all the references, so they can understand how did I achieve that abstract image. And if they would see only the abstract image, they will be more scared. Mm. So in other features where I go really far in overlapping and soundtrack and all that, or that... It's much more difficult for them to understand it. So it's, yes.
You mentioned earlier, you referenced the statement that it's not important how, I'm paraphrasing, but it's not important the quantity of people, just as long as it's that I'm showing my work to 7 people who may understand it. That's a very far concept from the concept of mainstream, right?
I think it's 2 completely different things, and I've just been from a session from the most popular film I did. It was 120,000 spectators in Portugal, which is great. It's a comedy, and it was thought for the Portuguese people, so it was never had an international premiere. It was now, and everybody was laughing a lot. And that's the kind of cinema where you want to reach the audience of today with immediate gratifying. You have some kind of... You receive something in the moment.
Yeah.
And the other thing is when you want to do some kind of art, and that the purpose is to go to the future and to be seen by other generations, and to be seen by people who know the history of the art. So it has to be, even if other people like it, you have to respect all of this and to do something that that can be new, that can be something that wasn't done before. So that's what I'm always trying to do. It's something I never did before, and hopefully nobody else, even if it's a new combination of all things. But
keeping up with new technologies.
Yeah, I love 3D. I'm trying virtual reality for quite a while, trying to do a project. I love new toys.
Yeah. Well, tell me more about the use of 3D in your works.
Well, I started a thesis which was about the evolution of the spectator and 3D cinema. So I did, like, while doing the research for the dissertation, I did like 18 3D films in 6 years. And what attracts me is that when I started shooting in 1985, I had a VHS camera, and nobody would respect that. But now that these images are far better than many others' media, so they have this nostalgic image.
Yeah.
And then I continued to shoot on video, and nobody would shoot, just only if there was a feature or a documentary, and they would shoot in film. And then when everybody started to have a camera, a video camera, I started shooting in Super 8 so that I would have a different approach, aesthetic approach. And when there was no more Kodachrome Super 8 in 2006, 2007, I was a bit lost. because everybody has a camera already, and I wanted to make a difference in the aesthetic approach. So when 3D appeared, I immediately grabbed that because it's a completely new way of showing the real. It's a completely artificial look, and it's not more real as when they say of Avatar or whatever. It's not more real, it's more artificial. Mm. And that I like it a lot.
Yeah. But it's funny what you're saying about that, because it seems to me like sometimes keeping up with technology actually means revisiting the technologies of years and years ago.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
So do you expect that some of the films that you shot, for example, with a 3D camera now, or even just the VR film that you're working on and you're experimenting with, will actually may not be as popular as it might be 20 years from now?
You never know what's going to happen. It's like this comedy I did. Yeah. You don't know what people will think afterwards. So you just have to guess. And my guess is that 3D will be seen as Super 8 and other formats which are not standard. Mm. But at the same time, 3D is part of virtual reality. It's a very important part. So it will evolve to virtual reality. And maybe one day when there will be auto-stereoscopic 3D cinema where you don't need the glasses, it will not become seen as a special effect. It will be seen as something only natural. And I hope that day I will have other thing to... how to approach, or I'll go back my next feature. I'm hoping to do it on 16 millimeters in film. So,
speaking of the retrospective aspect of because of the retrospective that's happening here in Rotterdam, and because of the example that you made of that comedy, which actually I'm thinking about now, we mentioned that it worked, people laughed, and it could have worked. How do you feel when you see that delayed reaction after people have been telling you it's not going to work internationally?
Well, it's really great to be here at this retro future perspective, because I have completely different reactions to different films, and people prefer ones to another, which I love that. I love that people don't choose the same films, so that I don't really have a consensus. I have different personalities, and people have different personalities. So it's great to see a comedy, people laughing, but it's also great to see people being really absorbed into something as immersive as Lisbon Revisited, or being with more political films, thinking again about the rise of fascism and all these preoccupations I've been having for a long, long time. Yeah. And now they're becoming real.
There you go.
Because like a film like Caminho Magnetics, which just premiered, Magnetic Pathways, it was written like 15 or more years ago, and it was the rise of far right wing regime, and I thought of that as science fiction.
Yes. Oh.
And now it's global.
Yeah, but you as an artist, when you're finished a film, do you still see them? Like, when you're finished with a film, do you feel like it's just done and you're moving on to the next one? And I'm also asking that because I get the impression that you're always sort of working on something, you're always shooting. So I'm trying to understand, once a film is finished, how do you feel about it? Or do you even think about it anymore?
Well, there's different kinds of films. There are films that I don't go back, that I feel comfortable with the relationship I have with them, and there are others that I rework, re-edit, or like Man of Evasion, where I paint on the film and scratch and do lots of intervention, also on the sound. So, because I think the film would deserve some proper attention, and or maybe just because I want to see it differently.
Mm.
So I have these two things, the two ways of feeling a film. But the most important is that people feel that the film still means something to them, even if it's made 20 years ago.
Mm. And does it even matter if it means something to them that is absolutely not the right thing that they should feel or that you thought the film was about?
No, not at all. It's so great to see how people make new interpretations of a film, and that only means that the film gives the freedom to spectator to have these different meanings. And I think any work of art cannot have one explanation.
Yeah.
It's if you have one explanation for the film, is because for me it's not really art; it's almost propaganda.
Yeah, but as a filmmaker, then your work does get judged, right?
So yeah, a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it gets judged, but which is why, you know, given the fact that we're here to document in a way your reactions and your voice from a festival that is dedicating a retrofuturespective.
Yes.
Yeah, retrofuturespective, and the fact that we're talking about audiences now. You seem to be very forgiving of audiences, and you're happy if they take in their own message. But is there any way in which an audience disappoints you in any way?
Well, sometimes there's a feeling that people are not enough open-minded to new experiences. Mm. And that the audience, I think I was telling someone days ago that I don't think filmmakers are bad than old ones are worst, but I think spectators are worst. Mm. And when I was a child and my teenager, I remember people seeing and films from all over Europe and making queues and being Italian film for 1 year or whatever, or Godard or Fellini, or people would go and watch those films. And now it's almost impossible to attract people to this kind of films. And I don't think it's because of the films. Hmm. It's just because people lost patience to work while they're having a leisure time. It's if they have to work the meaning of things, and if they, even myself, when I stop, well, I see images every day. So when I stop, I don't have the patience for other stuff.
Yeah.
as I should as a spectator.
So you feel that you yourself can disappoint yourself by not being willing to put in the work to decipher some films.
Yeah, I think I'm a better filmmaker than spectator, for sure.
Yeah, we almost live in an age where it's easier to be a filmmaker than a spectator.
Yeah.
Shamefully.
It's true, it's true. People shoot a lot.
And themselves a lot, too. The selfie.
Yeah, they shoot a lot, but they don't watch what they shoot.
Mm.
It's different. So, well, I like to
is
do live streaming to places because it's feeling that someone's over your shoulder looking at that moment at the film, and that's interesting. That's a challenge because you cannot miss things like when you're shooting, do it again or whatever. No, you have to do it for a spectator that's there, and that I like also.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Okay, so we went well over our time, time that I said that I would dedicate.
So.
Yeah, but it was a fascinating interview and a fascinating talk. So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, it was great to be here at Rotterdam Festival, and I hope you'll go see my films one day in different spaces, and let's see what happens after this.
All right, thank you very much for joining us. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.